listeners, to this episode of the Whip 12 podcast. I'm your host, Kyle, and I'm here with a very special guest who is potentially, and I'm just going to say definitely, single-handedly responsible for the cancellation of Interplanetario this year because of his victory just last weekend. Derek, thank you for joining me.
Glad to be here, Kyle.
Fantastic. So, what'd you win, and how'd that happen?
Oh, wow. So, I won the Sin City Brawl.
Fantastic.
It was a great five-round tournament in beautiful Las Vegas, in conjunction with Las Vegas Open.
That's great. I love it. So, let's tell the audience a little bit about you, how you got into Infinity, what your Infinity journey has been like. Where did you start as a gamer?
So I got into Infinity as Winter 4 was coming out. So okay. I had just learned about the game from a bunch of friends at my local group. And I was like, oh, this is really interesting. I really like how orcs look. And then I've learned about the game later, and then I started playing for a little bit. And then I kind of like fell off. And then N4 came out, and I really loved the changes. And that's what really kind of jumped into it.
Okay.
It was really cool to have that kind of like interaction piece. Mm-hmm. And then, I picked up Hakka's Law.
Cool. So the interaction piece for you is the like ARO and reacting mechanic.
Absolutely. That, yeah.
Okay. Cool. And you've been playing, mostly in Livermore. Is that the.
Mostly in Livermore. Occasionally in Redwood City is where I've been starting up a new group.
Great. Great. That's awesome. All right. So you started with Hakka's Law. Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. What drew you to Hakka's Law and what made you stay and then abandon them for Starmada?
So what drew me to Hakka's Law was the uniqueness. Okay. There are not very many Middle Eastern or West Eastern countries that are open, that are very represented. Mm-hmm. It was also a new unique play style. Like, they play a lot of, like, skill games, and when I play D&D, I play very much so rogue characters. Cool. And, like, skill monkeys, so that was, like, a very big draw. What drew me away from it was the introduction of Starmada. I am actually really big into mixed combined arms lists. When I used to play Malifaux,
okay.
I used to play Ten Thunders, which is basically, like, a bunch of different factions that came together, and yes. We'll fight off to other people. So, Starmada was an easy draw.
That's great. That's great. Okay. So, have you abandoned Hakka's Law to never look back, or are you going to go back and forth?
I have not looked back lately, so okay. I feel as though it's pretty good. And then with the new Sectorial coming out, I'm kind of really interested in
that. Yeah. That's great. I love it. The new Sectorial, is that in conjunction? There's a Hawk Sectorial coming out also, or is it some Hawk units in O12?
I don't know.
Okay.
Like, this is a whole new thing, and apparently we'll find out at Adepticon.
That's great. I'm excited. Okay, so you went to Las Vegas. I guess before we get into the missions and the prep for it and what that looks like, I don't know, is there anything you want to share about going to Vegas for an Infinity tournament? Did you get to go anywhere else in LVO, or was it just the event?
I wasn't able to go to LVO. I've been many years, okay. So, like, I've been for Age of Sigmar, I've been for Malifaux, so it was a pretty familiar thing for me. But okay. and I went last couple years for Infinity. Actually, that was my first ever Infinity tournament, was the 2021.
Oh, that's great.
So it was a great time.
Cool. I love it. Okay. So let's walk through your lists and then how you prepared for Sin City Smackdown, and we can go through this however you want. We can look at the missions first or your list first, whatever feels right.
Let's go through the list first, because that's actually a major consideration for this tournament. Let's go with one that I play very commonly.
Okay.
It's a five man. It's my 15 order list that okay. I took here. In group one, I have two Kappa Hackers, a Kappa Missile Launcher, two Raven Eyes with EM Mines, one of which will be your lieutenant.
Yep. I've never seen this combination before.
This seems like a very, like, no, unheard of.
Uh-huh.
I have a Harris with an Epsilon, a Beta Trooper Doctor, and then Shona Carano, which I thought was a fun little piece of space. Beautiful. A Roadbot Paramedic with a Sidebot, and then a Crusher. And that was a fun piece. That's one of the things that I'd like to emphasize is that the Crusher has never failed me.
Yeah. This is the combat trip one.
This is the combat trip one, yeah.
It's not starting on the table without a marker state.
No. It's just appearing wherever I need it to. It has... Cool. And especially with the new rules, it has performed wonderfully.
And it is a model with NWI, correct?
It is a NWI parachutist, or a combat jumper and parachutist with a Panzerfaust and boarding shotgun.
Oh, that's great.
And it's a forward observer, it's got D-charges, everything you could possibly ask for. Cool. Amazing. In group two, I've got two Trenchhammer Varangians, very weird. A Fuzzbot with Evo hacking. In case I need to actually combat drop.
There you go.
And then a Killer Hacker Cyber Ghost, and then a Missile Bot.
Great.
Classic secondary.
Yep. Okay, so for this one, I mean, it looks to me like your consideration for this list is that there's very little that it can't do and very little that it can't handle. It's kind of got, it's got a couple very good long-range tools. You've got the sniper rifle and the missile launcher to threaten armor. You've got the missile bot to also threaten armor.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would say that I don't see is a high-burst offensive gun.
That's exactly correct.
Okay.
This list has a lot of... it's kind of like harkens back to my Hawk-Islam days. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of strong defense.
Yeah.
And the offense is primarily just going to be scoring and forcing them to engage you.
Gotcha. Okay, that's great.
Yeah. And then this is the SC special. This is the limited insertion requirement.
Okay.
I did end up taking it for three rounds instead of just the mandatory two.
Okay.
So actually performed wonderfully.
And so just to clarify for listeners, one of the requirements for the list for Sin City Smackdown was one of your lists at least had to be single combat group, and you had to take that for at least two of the missions you played.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
This one's a little bit... So this will be much faster. A Cyber Coast, a Hacking Device Plus.
Cool.
A Nyoka with a HRL. A Parvati. A Warcore 360 Visor. Epsilon Sniper. A Psycop with a Multispectral Visor 1. And the Multi-Marksman Rifle.
Mm-hmm.
A bronze HMG, Hector as my lieutenant. I took the plasma rifle, a Roadbot paramedic, and then the Varangian trench hammer.
Cool. Okay, so you've got, what's that? 1, 2, 3, 4. So you've got a Harris and a core.
You can't. So
no, because the Cyber Ghost isn't linkable.
Cyber Ghost isn't linkable, but a Nyoka can form a core.
Okay.
And then a bronze can form a Harris.
Got it.
And the beauty of this list is because you have so many kind of wild card pieces.
Mm-hmm.
The Psycop is a wild card, the Bronze is a wild card, and Parvati is a wild card. You can create these different combinations that situate very easily. But okay. you're always going to take the Nyoka, Hector, and then the Epsilon because they have to actually work together.
Okay, and then you've got, you have the option of having a core team just to, have a little bit more beef. You've got the option of sending the bronze out on its own or putting it in a Harris. Can it be in a duo?
Yeah, you can just treat it as the Harris, yeah.
Okay. Okay, that's great.
Yeah, it works really well. It works really well. The big consideration for this was durability in reality, because you'll be order starved, and then you want your units to be really survivable. One of the things that actually became really relevant was Hector being a lieutenant, whip 15.
Yep.
So being able to dictate that that roll off was really relevant in missions one, in Biotech 4, and in B-Bomb.
Yep. That makes sense. Okay, great. So as you're building these lists, what's bringing you to these combinations of units? You talked a little bit about the sort of Hawk-Islam kind of cagier game plan for the first list.
Mm-hmm.
I see the durability in Hector in the bronze, but for instance, I don't. Oh, I guess there's Parvati there too, mm-hmm. but like I don't see a Crusher in, because the Crusher is not linkable, is it?
Crusher's not linkable.
Right, but it is another potentially 2-1 model. I mean, the Robot is awful to remove.
Yeah, you have to do that 3 damage, and if you want to kill it in the first engagement, it's not the easiest.
Okay.
So yeah, it's got a lot of durability. It's got a lot of ways to approach, and it's got a good midfield, which is a consideration, especially for a lot of the missions.
Right. And then it is a 12 order list.
It is 12 orders. It's got the work order. It does have the work order for the irregular, but yeah, you can squeeze out 12 orders, no problem.
Cool. All right, that's great. So our missions are Biotech 4. Counterintelligence, Frostbite, Unmasking, and B-Pong.
Yep.
We'll go through those, I think, in a little more detail when we go through the blow-by-blow, but is there, as you're building your list, as you're thinking about what you're going to take for each mission, how are these missions informing your decisions?
Well, the last round was actually hidden. Until the day of the tournament. Mm. So the last mission was a null factor.
Okay.
But when you're considering building the list, a lot of it's kind of like, how do you want to... I talked that over with my teammates a lot, and it was kind of like, how do you want... which are the two you want to use the lieutenant, the limited insertions for?
Yeah.
And almost universally, the conclusion was Biotech 4 and Frostbite.
That makes sense.
They have to get brawly. You just want... having more models actually becomes a liability. So it's easy to, like, note that.
You want heavy infantry for Frostbite.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And then Biotech 4, you just kind of want to get in the middle anyway, so it really doesn't matter.
Okay.
And then you'd swap to the 15 orders with counterintelligence and unmasking. So you basically need to hunt the HVTs.
Okay. And then how much did you think they were going to choose B-Pong for the last mission?
I didn't. Oh, I really didn't. Okay. Like, that was like, it was one of those things that, like, B-Pong is one of those things that I, like, know is going to happen, but I constantly, like, I'm just kind of like, it's fine. I
gotta deal with this. Yeah.
I was hoping for a Mind Wipe.
Yeah.
That's a fun one.
Okay. All right. Well, it was B-Pong. So, it was B-Pong,
exactly.
Let's go ahead and go through. And just for the benefit of the listeners, we have sort of recreated your opponent's lists. Just a note, there are a couple places where I've sort of made assumptions based on what you can remember. So listeners and his opponents, if we got your list wrong, sorry, not sorry. Okay. So our first mission... you're playing against Shazvasti.
Yep.
Brian is another relatively local.
Yeah, he's actually the guy I play the most.
That's great.
So that was kind of an exciting interaction just to begin with. We kind of looked at across from the table and like, all right, this is gonna happen.
Yeah.
That's
great. And so this is Biotech 4.
So I kind of knew. So going into this mission, I kind of knew what he was going to take. We had talked about it before. He had switched up the list a little bit, but right beforehand, so he kind of threw me for a loop. But he knew my list in and out since he's played it a few times.
Okay.
So it was a really interesting. It was a very strange. It was a very interesting interaction. The big parts of the list are a Sphinx. The Guilo, R-Drone, Ada, Harris, a Shrouded, Dr. Worm, a Siege Soldier.
M-Drone, sorry.
An M-Drone, yes, M-Drone, an M-Drone, yeah, yep. Yeah. The Ford Observer with the mobile cover.
Yep.
A Siege Soldier, and then the Dr. Worm.
Cool.
And then a Mentor as his lieutenant. Yep. So as soon as I tried to strip orders from him, it kind of... headed off.
Right. And so this is his limited insertion list.
Right.
And since he didn't have a Malignos, the only, or an Octifer, the only TO is the Sphinx, So the only missing order potentially is the Sphinx.
Right.
Yeah, that's cool.
Going into this, I was kind of like, I need to go second. I managed to win the lieutenant roll off, and I'm like, if you come in with the Sphinx, I have definitely lost. So yeah. I forced that interaction immediately, and his first interaction was basically to actually do exactly that. It was to put his Sphinx on the table as a camo marker.
Okay.
And then go in and start killing things.
Okay.
I managed to luck in for a fight between the Nyuka and the Sphinx and put it unconscious.
That is super unlucky
for two threes. Yeah. I needed two threes and I managed to do it.
Wow. Okay.
But he recovered it beautifully by just coming in with the Dr. Worm.
Mm-hmm.
And then it recovered it. He wasn't able to recover his lieutenant quickly enough, and so he lost his lieutenant, and that was his second round was a lot more difficult.
Okay, so he lost his lieutenant to the biotech core.
To the biotech. Okay, he wasn't able to move fast.
Yeah, that's rough.
And then from there, it was kind of like a lot of like me trying to break his hits, this is Harris, the Harris is. This Harris is probably his kind of like his like signature.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nearly impossible to break. I spent two full turns trying to kill him with Hector, and was unable to barely do a scratch. And then he won like four interactions. It was pretty wild. The big thing he was able to do was he was able to survive until the very end, and that and then I came in with the Psychop and shot him in the chest and put him, and he died immediately.
Okay. Cool. And the Psychop is the it's MSV1 mimetism and multi marksman.
Yep.
Cool.
So
yeah, AP, that's a good gun to do it. I mean, the Guaylo, I really like the Guaylo, but it is a little tough because it's a armor 3 heavy infantry. So right. once it starts failing the armor saves, it'll...
Yeah, the mobile cover is like really helpful.
Yes.
It has proven to be nearly impossible for me to stop.
Yeah. Because then even with armor 5, you're still... Or even with cover and against AP, you're still armor 5.
Which right, is exactly.
Pretty good.
It's just you got to hit them with templates.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. Yeah, Shasvasti. Oh, that's monstrous. Did the Speculo land, or did it get the scattered deployment?
Oh, the Shrouded?
Speculo?
He didn't have a Speculo. He had a Shrouded. He did have the camo marker.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but that landed. That was actually probably a pretty critical unit. He shot Hector in the back several times. It was not great.
Okay. But Parvati brought him back?
No, Hector survived on his NWI.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right.
Running champ.
Taking risks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. A lot of this was kind of like, got to go in and then just move on.
Cool. Okay. All right. That's great.
Yeah. So, round two.
Yeah. So, round two, counterintelligence. And this one, theoretically, you were going to play the 15 order list.
That's correct, yeah. I also played against Wild Chevy, who was also taking Starmada. He chose his limited insertion list.
Interesting.
Yeah, right. He had Hector Pravati and a Killer Hacker beta unit.
Cool.
Epsilon and two Nyokas, two Roadbots, a Varangian, and we concluded one more thing.
I guess the Cyber Ghost Hacker Plus, because it fits the points we had left over exactly.
Mm-hmm.
If we assume it's a paramedic and a Red Fury Roadbot, which you weren't quite sure about, but
right.
You know, we're just guessing.
Yeah, but we're just moving on.
Yeah.
He won the lieutenant role, as you do when you were Whip 15.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to go first and... That was okay with me. He ran in with the robots and basically escorted immediately and put me on the back foot, which was kind of like scary because I was trying. He managed to win out a sniper fight with my Epsilon versus my Epsilon because I had his a bead lined on the onto his Parvati. And then he basically took the first turn, but after that he had exhausted a lot of resources and I started like basically picking off that flank. Around turn two, he had moved forward with his Hector, and basically a lot of this was me responding, very similar to the Haka's Laws move. He had moved forward with his Hector Parvati link, and I brought in the Crusher to basically score a bunch of points, and then flank, and then mess with his flank, and then I also set up the Hector Oblivion so to isolate him. I had
that's rough.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you like see yourself when, especially having played that exact kind of like style before, you're like, ah, I know now how to deal with this thing that I've seen before. And I put him in Loss of Lieutenant in turn on turn three, and that was pretty much the clincher.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Because there's no veteran in his list, is there?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a lot of survival.
Okay. Well, that's rough. Good use of Oblivion. How did you get the hacker in range of Hector? Or did you do a pitcher?
So I did a pitcher. Cool. I actually, that was like the most difficult action thing in the entire interaction was like, because he has the killer hacker right next to it. And I'm just kind of like, how can I get this pitcher exactly so Hector gets hit, but not the killer hacker? So.
Okay. But even if you do, you've got the Cyber Ghost Killer Hacker.
Thing, yeah.
Right.
So, you have that fight. It's not as good a fight. A two wound hacker is way strong, is very durable, especially when it's got tin bot attached. Yeah. So I would have, if I can get that hold in place, I'll take it. Otherwise I would have been acting reactively, which wasn't as good.
Right. Okay. Well, that's fantastic. So congratulations. It's two rounds, two wins. Good. All right. Is there anything after that round in particular that you would have changed about your list?
I would have, not quite about the list, but how I acted.
Okay.
I would have been a little bit less aggressive and like made basically tried. And when I realized, and actually realizing playing that like mirror, I realized that the big thing about Hector is like forcing him out. So I would have been actually a little bit more, even more passive, honestly, and just like started like creating like basically a zone for Hector to enter.
Gotcha. Try to draw him out further.
Exactly.
That makes sense. Okay. So round three is Frostbite and you played against NCA.
Yep. This was an interesting fight. I have a lot of trauma from, Bolt Snipers with their multi-smite. So, I played this very cagey.
Okay.
It was kind of an open table. There was a piece, basically a block of terrain in the very dead middle that was blocking off everything. And then basically all of the elevated buildings could see each location.
Gotcha.
So getting to it was a lot more difficult.
Okay. And then this list, the NCA list, has the Ulan and the Bolt Sniper. So I assume those are kind of like creating some sort of crossfire from different corners, or are they lined up next to each other?
So the Bolt Sniper initially was just mounted on a roof. Mm-hmm. And the Kleschwitz was actually the attack piece, and it was kind of it was off on the side. Mm-hmm. It wasn't creating like a defensive crossfire. It was actually creating an offensive like push location.
Okay,
that made space for the bulleteer.
Yep,
mechanist Harris.
That makes sense.
The mechanist Harris turned out wonderfully. He managed to push out. Hit my bolt once, and I was like, nope, I'm not going to do this anymore. I need the orders. I'll let you have it.
Yeah.
And then he came in with his Klauschwitz. We jostled back and forth, and then I managed to hit him with the roadbot, and that put him out of commission. But he was actually fine for recovery.
Okay.
And basically my first turn was making sure he didn't recover.
Yeah. And this was your limited insertion
list? This was my limited insertion list. This is the Hector list.
Yeah. Okay. So the bronze is doing a lot of the work for you here?
The bronze is doing a lot of the work. Okay. He held down actually a far shot, a far position, and then he's shooting up the mechanist. I also managed to run up the Varangian, and that was actually a really powerful thing.
I imagine, especially as a bulleteer, all that.
Right, exactly. Mechanism. Yeah. So one of the actual things, like the real skill jump that I experienced when playing Starmada is how to use the Varangian Guard.
Okay.
He plays very similar to Dadarazi, and it's not something I'd ever played before. So. Okay.
So you are using it for smoke cover to get into that Berserk range?
To actually hide behind the silhouette of the... So what I did is I actually followed the silhouette, the shadow of the building, and then I hid behind the silhouette of the Clausewitz and started laying templates on the engineer.
Gotcha. Yes.
It was pretty nice. And then he died immediately, but as you do.
Yeah.
And then after that, it was kind of me pinning him down and scoring points after that with the Psychop.
Okay. So how did you deal with the Ulan once here?
The Ulan was put down in ARO.
Oh.
I managed to Panzerfaust it into unconsciousness, and then I killed his engineer, and that kind of did it.
Did he have to split his fire, or did you get a lucky roll?
I just got a lucky roll.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. Well, I mean, if you do that,
yeah. Works. When you get lucky, everything's great. I did force him out into the open in order to fight me.
Okay.
Which evened it out a little bit, but I got lucky, and he couldn't recover with the engineer.
Gotcha. And the Panzerfaust for you was on what model?
The Roadbot.
Roadbot, okay. I really hate those.
That's fair. Yeah. You should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's still like a bear, Roadbot. Like, I don't know. They're both
really
terrible.
Is that really? Okay. I have other things that are about
Fair.
That's fair. But I understand your point of view.
I mean... Yeah, pitchers are absolutely busted too. But you know, whatever.
You actually have to shoot those most of the time.
Okay. I mean, it really does feel like my pitchers just never land, and then my opponent's like, "Oh, cool, here's a spot," and I'll just like hack your lieutenant and whatever. And
all the time. Cool. No. Like I'm like, yeah, like this will be okay. You know what's crazy is that like whenever I land a pitcher, it's always like. Win. I'm just kind of like in this kind of like, yeah, whatever attitude. Right. Like I've like,
I'll try to block off this zone a little bit, maybe whatever.
Right. Exactly. Right. And it's like, oh yeah, this is fine. I'm like, wait, I didn't really care about that. Why is that now?
Right.
So,
okay, cool. All right. Any other big moments or takeaways for round three
from that one? Mainly I just really avoided that sniper. Like the biggest thing about fighting NCA
Don't fight
the sniper.
Unless you can template it or get in close combat.
Right.
Don't
fight the sniper. Yeah.
Okay. And you don't have any white noise because it's a killer. Oh, no, you're doing that.
No, I have the white noise.
You have the hacker plus in the limited search. Okay, so that's good. So that gives you a
tool. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I post... Yeah. As soon as I put that Ulan's down, I put the hacker right next to it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, going to cyber mask this. And I'm like, if you recover this, that'll be fun.
Yeah. Okay, so round four, we are looking at unmasking, and you're playing one of the organizers of the event, Tim Chainsaw.
Yep.
And he brought TAC, Tartary Army Corps. All right.
Yeah. This was actually my most kind of like question. Like, this was the one that I definitely considered the most. We have a very strong local player. Who plays a lot of Ariana, Joe.
Yeah. We've met.
Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. TAC is one of those lists that I've seen that can play a lot of camo spam, which is a really big worry for me. But it also has like very strong attack pieces like Ermendinos, which can cover, and mobile specialists that throw smoke are real good.
Yep.
And then it also has Carmen and Batard, which is a unit that I have used before and know how powerful it is.
Oh, so. Yeah.
And I highly recommend whenever you can take it.
Oh, shit, they're fantastic.
Yeah. So all of those pieces culminated in me thinking really a lot about it. Okay. I was undecided if I should take the small list or the big list. Mm-hmm. The small list has a lot of MSV.
Yeah.
But the big list is meant for unmasking. It is actually one of like the best ways to use it is like bringing in the crusher during.
Gotcha.
So this was an interesting list because this was an interesting interaction because it was a lot of us gaming each other.
Mm-hmm.
He read me like a book.
Okay.
He's
also played, I seem to remember Starmada being something that he's played a bunch of too.
Right. Yeah, I can see that very easily. Yeah. Yeah. He was very comfortable with it. And then, we actually kind of like had this kind of like mental, there was a lot of mental jousting.
Mm-hmm.
The objectives, the little buttons were, on top of buildings. So that actually,
that's fun.
Yeah. Right. It made a lot easier. The amount of climbing plus I have was very advantageous. Yeah. He couldn't like just deploy his Armandinos like right in the middle. Mm-hmm. We actually had a lot of, this was kind of decided in the deployment zone, in the deployment phase. I had him set up deployment first.
Okay.
And he deployed a lot of his, deployed his core, which has a missile and then a FO Frontovik.
Okay.
The MSV Frontovik.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of responded with my sniper and then my missile, my core missile, like lined up on both of them.
Okay. And this is you went with the 15 order list?
I went to the 15 order list. Okay. That's correct. Gotcha. And that way we kind of like had this stare down and like how do you gamble this?
Right.
He ended up basically setting up a bunch of smoke attacks so that I couldn't get both of them at the same time. Mm-hmm. And he'd have to fight my MSV Epsilon.
Gotcha.
Which ended up being a push. It wasn't really like a big...
Yeah. I mean, it's three dice against two, so it's not great odds.
Right. Yeah. So it ended up being kind of pushy.
Mm-hmm.
I also counter-deployed his Carmen.
Okay.
And then stripped all the orders out of Carmen and Batard so that he couldn't just bum rush me, which was ended up being the kind of like decisive factor is once I kind of like cut his alpha out of him, it eased up a lot of the actions and it allowed me to follow up with a lot of his attacks. Okay. Follow up a lot of attacks with even just two dice with big guns.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so he's got just to walk back a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's got a couple of Straylocks. Mm-hmm. He's got a Line Kazak Corps with a Frontovik.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a Vet Kazak and Dozer Harris.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second group, Vasily with a Sniper and Chain of Command, mm-hmm. Carmen and Batard, Ermandinos, and a War Driver.
Right.
Okay. So, I mean, really his big gun is the Vet Kazak APHMG. Like, there are a couple terrifying guns. You know, there's a T2 sniper, there's a T2 rifle, and the Vet Kazak, and those are terrifying guns, but, I mean, they're getting burst two or three, potentially.
Right.
Yeah, so, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So I was able to neutralize the Vet Kazak with a big old missile to the chest. And,
cool.
And that was... I will definitely note that a lot of it was, like, defensive luck and, like, force. Mm-hmm. And then once that kind of... I hit those, like, first couple engagements, it was kind of, like, it broke them.
Gotcha.
And then I was able to capitalize on a lot of their, basically a lot of overextension and then follow-ups.
Gotcha. Cool. That's great.
Yeah. So I was able to kill his lieutenant, kill his HVTs, and that kind of like mm-hmm. cinched the game.
All right. Great. So then the surprise round, B-Pong, mm-hmm. round five. Your organizers were monsters.
Yeah. Yeah, we found out at the beginning of the tournament, oh, like, do you want to know? And I'm like, kind of, yeah. And then they're like, by the way, B-Pong. And I was like, no! It was a big old travesty.
Okay. So you won the lieutenant role, you opted to go second, and you did a retreat list and just left the table.
Yeah, that's it. That's
clapped your hands and won the event.
Yeah, that's right.
Obviously. Okay. That was the true nature of the limited insertion
list. That's right. Just retreat. I mean... play less one group. It's fine.
Right. So round five, it's the second day. At that point, did you know you were at top table, or did you kind of suspect? What was
At that point, I like by round five, I knew I was top table.
Okay.
I had actually seen DT Junkie play.
Okay.
Against one of my other teammates, whose name is Ryan, so I kind of like had an idea of what he was doing and his play style. It was very interesting to like see that evolution.
Cool. And he brought Morats.
He did bring Morats.
Cool.
Kornak, Yaugat, Sariot, if I pronounce these wrongs, I apologize. Right. I can never do it. Two Dartox, a paramedic, and then two Dots. And then an Ikadron. I believe that was group one.
Okay.
It was a very core heavy list, very, very core centric. He mixed around his fire teams pretty much. Like pretty much the entire like first turn.
Okay.
And then in group two was two Predas with an Oznet and Ikadron, and what eventually became a Raziat with the combat jumper.
Gotcha.
That was kind of like the thing that like I've seen a lot of, and mm-hmm. I'm kind of like always worried about.
So yeah.
I definitely deployed for that one.
Yeah. I mean, Vantant is definitely a thing, but Carlotta and the Raziat are.
Right up
whole
there.
Something else.
Yeah, exactly. This was actually a really interesting interaction, not only because I was under the impression that he would take Kornak, mm-hmm. so he had a high lieutenant order, but we also played on kind of like this very closed table.
Okay. That's rough against Morats.
It was not the business. So I had spoken about, I had talked about this with Brian before,
mm-hmm.
and it was kind of like deciding, I have this like 15 order list, which allows me to like do a bunch of options, or do I just go all in and do the 15 and just roll on a 15 and see if I can decide if I go second.
Gotcha.
When I saw the table, it kind of cinched it all together because my limited insertion list is significantly more brawly and mm-hmm. durable.
Okay.
And I was just like, all right, we'll do this. It'll be all at once. I crit on the 15.
Cool.
And then that kind of like cinched it from
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Now I know you're rolling a 15. So even if, you know, you're going to win at that point, most likely.
Right.
Do the crit rules actually apply to the lieutenant role?
I believe so.
Okay.
Because you still have the target number.
Number and a face-to-face roll, so maybe.
Yeah,
sure.
So maybe. Yeah.
All right.
But he didn't beat me, so that's also...
He didn't have an avatar.
Is so that right? Exactly, right? So I managed to get the lieutenant roll off, and that kind of was just like, all right, man, like, if you can alpha me hard enough,
yeah,
that's fine.
So you opted to go second.
I opted to go second.
Yeah.
As I would choose to do almost every time I play B-Pong.
Yeah. So he had... I mean, you stripped him of two orders.
Uh-huh.
But he still had 10 full orders plus the impetuous orders on his Dadaraze for right. group one.
Exactly.
Oof, that's rough.
It was not the business.
Yeah.
So this is why this list building was super crucial.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that like I had built into this list was the ability to form a full core.
Yep.
And while I didn't use that in its entirety, what I did was I created that Nyoka Harris
mm-hmm.
and then added Parvati on the end. And that gave me six cents as yep. soon as I see, and as soon as I saw the Dadarazes, I'm like, this is, needs to happen.
Yeah.
And that actually ended up changing up his game plan significantly. So he would basically come forward with the Dadarazi, and use his attack run for turn two instead of the turn one, because I had an Epsilon down the center where the Dadarazi would normally come. And then I also had one of the objectives, the my right objective just covered.
Okay.
So he chose to basically brawl in the center instead of flank around.
Okay.
And that was kind of actually my biggest worries, because it was like a space table with like a space center.
Okay.
With one layer. So verticality didn't exist. So I was worried about him like basically flanking around, destroying my weak ARO units, which were the Panzerfaust paramedic and the robot, and then and then a war core. So mm-hmm. really not really strong defense. Yeah. A little bit of defense, but whatever.
Yeah.
We kind of pushed there and he just kind of like let go of it. And then he pushed in the center really hard. And I managed to get his, one of his Suryat on the attack run. And then he had to reform his link. And that kind of like threw him off a bunch of, threw him off quite a lot.
You killed a Suryat, an arrow?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
You killed
an Ulan and arrow.
Oh, no.
Suryat and arrow. Like, this is...
Yeah, and a Sphinx.
I think I figured out your secret.
play defense. Yeah. Right. Roll better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. As you always do.
Right. Okay, so losing the Suryat, making him reform the link, I assume that knocks the wind out of his sails, and then from that point, you just need to get a model on to each objective at the end.
Exactly, correct. Turn. Yeah, right. I managed to flank to his right with my Psycop. The Psycop did so much work in this game.
It's a really good profile.
It's so good. It took out his what's it, the Preda, or the Osnot Harris.
Okay.
And that kind of like... That made sure, and that was the big thing because it made sure the Raziat wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And it was, I think he fell into a similar trap that I fell into in a test list that I've been making, is that he kind of spread out his options a little bit more. And mm-hmm. I realized that, like, one of the things that, like, I've been noticing is that when you spread them out, spread out those, like, those orders and like kind of like don't focus them, it gets really like it becomes significantly, you must play more cagey and it becomes much more like compounding.
Okay.
And I think that's exactly what he experienced in this situation, is like his Raziat didn't land. And then I never managed to get like his dots managed to mess up my stuff, but I managed to have, with Parvati positioned well enough, I managed to do a bunch of recovery.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you've got multi-wound models,
yeah.
she's good at
amazing.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, just even like, 15 doctor? Pretty good. Mm-hmm. Sounds good to me.
Okay. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
All right, so last round, it was still a close match. It looks like it was 4-2.
It was super close. He knew a lot of my weaknesses, which was kind of like the most biggest danger. But I also managed to... I managed to find where I needed to bully, and then I stopped there. And I stopped him there.
Gotcha. Okay. That's great.
Yeah.
So congratulations.
Thank you.
You win the event. And then how many days later before...
It was like Thursday or something like that. They're just like, by the way, I was psyched. I was like, oh yeah, like I'm going to go to Spain and it'll be great. By the way, we're not doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was, and I'm certain I'm cursed. I'm certain this is like, oh, by the way, they saw this Californian win. Can't do that. That's unacceptable.
I would be very surprised if they did not extend an offer to some of this year's satellite winners to go when they bring it back.
Yeah. I've seen this before. I've seen this report before, but I was just kind of like, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It is, serendipitous in a bad way.
Exactly. Right.
Okay. So, I don't know. Obviously, there's not much you need to change because you won, but looking back, are there any things you felt like should have been different about your list building or the way you played either of them?
I think that I should have... So, one of the things that I... Not the list building so much as, like, the play style.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that, like, a lot of it would... I depended on a lot of defense.
Mm-hmm.
One of my lists does not have a lot. The 15 order list does not have a lot of attack vectors.
Yeah.
It can play certain things really well, but it doesn't like really focus a lot on like close quarters. I kind of only have like one or two attack pieces.
Yeah. I mean, you've got the two Varangian and Shona.
Right.
But you have to get them there.
Right.
And Shona doesn't have any smoke outside of the Varangian and the other
group. No, but she dodges on a 17, which is real good.
It is real good.
So making sure that those attack pieces remain viable is kind of important. And then, kind of that 15 to 16 inch range is not really strong. So I'm shooting across the board, which is why in round five, I needed to do the Lineman insertion list.
Yeah, it is that thing with submachine guns where it's really cool to save those few points until you end up with a situation where you don't have any combi rifles and right, you just exactly. need a combi rifle.
Exactly. So, and then also, like, learning about, and then, like, my locals are not super alpha intensive, and mm-hmm. I think that's kind of, like, conditioning almost. Yeah. We have a very strong sniper aspect of it, and then like being able to deal with those hyper alphas where you're just kind of coming in with mm-hmm. like Carmen or like a Suryat is kind of like a critical aspect of that. And I realized that like had some of those not gone on like the way that they did, it could have been very easily collapsed. My army mm-hmm. could have very easily collapsed.
Yeah. And that's a good, I don't know, that's always a good thing to note about if you are going to go to those big events, what is it that the players around you tend to do and what are the things that you don't have practice against because your group just doesn't do something that people are doing in other parts of the world or whatever it is, yeah, right?
Exactly.
Being aware of those and trying to shore up those weaknesses. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and ultimately that led me to kind of like taking a lot of risks that paid off, admittedly, but like mm-hmm. knowing that like as I'm doing this, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this, take this risk. How do I recover if I fail?
Right.
And that's kind of, that actually helped a lot. That was a big one.
Yeah, that's important. And I mean, realistically, an event like this, how many people were at it?
40 plus,
something 40 like plus, that. Yeah. I mean, if you're playing an event that big, you can be the best player, and without some luck on your side, like, you're not going to make it to the top.
Right? Absolutely.
It
is,
you know, you need to be consistent, do well, and have a couple of those pivotal moments that turn a game around or clinch it at the end.
Yeah.
That's great, though. That's, you know, it's a huge achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, and then any surprise standouts, things that went well in practice and flubbed on the table or the other way around?
That went well in practice and then flubbed on the table. You know, honestly, the PsyCop went way better than I anticipated.
Cool.
I have constantly been surprised by how well they turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, I was trying to like skirt around it as much as possible. And then I took it and I was like, oh yeah, this works just fine.
There is, as a long time Acontecimiento player, and Bagmari are one of my old favorite units. Mm. There is a magical, like, Mimetism and MSV1 as a combo. It's just not expensive enough
right.
that it feels bad, but it's, I mean, it makes a highly effective shooter.
Right.
You know, the one wound sucks, obviously. Yeah, right. But as long as you don't eat that stray crit, they mm-hmm. are absolutely dominant gunfighters on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. I'm glad he worked out. And having the AP ammo on that is probably...
It makes a big difference. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So. All right. Cool. Anything, what's next on your docket for Infinity, events or armies or?
So next on my docket is two big things. It's going to be, I'm trying out the, as far as armies go, I'm trying out the Knight of Santiago.
In, cool.
Yeah. He's just such a cool model.
Yeah.
And like, I had such success with the Crusher. I'm like, mm-hmm. how can I do this more?
Yeah.
One of my friends, who plays MO, Kevin has been like playing the Knight of Santiago, and it's been like amazing. And I'm just kind of like, how can I capture this?
Yeah. Kevin is a friend of the show. I think he did the MO episode with me at one point.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So his, I want to ride that success.
Okay.
And then I'm going to be going to Battle by the Beach on March 10th.
That's great.
Big shout out to Mo Games and their tournament. It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
We went last year and it was amazing.
Oh, it was a blast. Yeah. I had a great time. Just to, I guess, shout it out, Mo Games, that's moe-games.com. because when I talked to Ruben, he said, oh yeah, just go to the website, Mo Games. And I'm like, M-O Games, nothing happens. M-O-E Games, nothing happens. And eventually figured out you need the dash.
Right.
It's an important piece of punctuation.
Yeah. So that's going to be in March, so I've got to prep for it. It'll be an interesting time. We still don't know the missions yet, so.
Cool. Yeah. I'm excited. I don't know that I'll make it out this year. We'll see.
Yeah.
It's always possible.
Yeah, is that like a hotel this time, which is really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's only an hour and 45 minutes from here, so it's not too big. It sort of falls right after my kid's birthday is this weekend, and then my wife's birthday is right after Valentine's Day. And so it's just a series of very busy weekends.
Yeah, okay.
February is just kind of packed, end of January, early February. So first weekend of March, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Maybe. Cool. That's great. And then obviously for you, the Torchlight Sectorial.
The Torchlight, yes. Yeah. Oh my gosh, I am so ready for it.
Yeah.
One of my goals for the year was to figure that out. Whenever you're starting up Sectorial, it's always going to be kind of rough, cuz like starting up, and like Starmada took like a year to like figure it all out, but I want to play it. I'm hoping that they have like the Gamma in there, cuz love that model so freaking much.
It is a cool model. It's a cool profile.
Right.
Yeah.
So I hope that it's like, I'm very excited for this. It's just really a great day.
Cool. All right. Well, any last thoughts wrapping up?
No, roll crits. I'd like to shout out, a couple more things. Battle by the Beach was a big one.
Yeah.
I'd like to shout out to my friend Deck, who's my co-host on Corner Case.
Cool.
And then the Redwood City team, who's Ryan, Brian, Joey, and Richard.
Okay.
They all have been incredibly supportive and made sure that have helped amazingly with this entire thing.
Cool. That's great. And I know I've seen Corner Case. I've seen you guys on YouTube. Are you anywhere else, or is it just Corner Case on YouTube?
Just Corner Case on YouTube.
Perfect. Okay, that's great. Well, thank you very much for sitting down with me. And it was pretty cool to do an actual podcast interview in person. It's been a while since I've done that, so this has been a blast.
Awesome.
I still haven't figured the sign off. So everybody, I'm just gonna go with roll those crits. They're great.
Yeah.
Thank you everybody for listening, and have a great night or morning or commute, wherever it is you're at right now.
Have a good one.